Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you ready to shift your mindset to a new approach in business? Welcome to From Corporate to Conscious with the Quantum Scene's Kim Page. Get ready to move forward as Kim and her guests discuss the new emerging business paradigm from a conscious perspective. And now, here's your host, Kim Page.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to From Corporate to Conscious. I'm your host, Kim Page, and thank you all for joining me today. We are actually on our sixth episode as of today, and I can't believe how 6 weeks goes by so fast. The feedback has been terrific, and I just wanted to express my gratitude to all of you who've been listening, so thank you. My guest today is Diane Durkin, the president and founder of Loyalty Factor, a consulting and training company that enhances employee, customer, and brand loyalty. And she does this work for some of America's most prominent corporations, as well as smaller businesses. Diane's also the author of two books, The Loyalty Factor, Building Employee, Customer, and Brand Loyalty, and this year's release, The Power of Magnetic Leadership. It's time to get R-E-A-L, real, which is what we're talking, which is what we're going to talk about today. So, Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So, our listeners are probably the first question, and everybody probably asks you, what is magnetic leadership?
Well, I think it's more of what it's not. You know, to answer that question, you have to really define what uninspired leadership does. And basically, uninspired leadership disengages employees, and it's kind of a reverse polarity. You can just think of somebody that's super successful who may have climbed the ladder without ever learning how to play well with other people, meaning that they don't communicate well with people. And so part of magnetic leadership is the communications piece. And then you can also think of leaders that don't connect with people because they don't have a good vision or purpose and are that's relevant to them. And so magnetic leaders define a real good purpose, vision, values, positioning for the organization. They really help people understand why they are working so hard to do what they're doing. Right. The other thing magnetic leaders do is they listen. You know, a lot of people don't listen to good ideas, and if you're not listening to the good ideas of your people, I often say it's like spraying a big can of repellent into the air, and all of your employees breathe, and then it kills all their productivity and creativity. So that's sort of my reverse definition of magnetic leadership.
Well, it's funny because Rod Collins last week talked about that very thing, just tapping into that collective knowledge of the organization. And it seems like you're saying, listening to the employees. And so I think really good leaders do that. And what you're saying is really to be a good magnetic leader, these are some of the things that you are doing. So you are listening, right? Because I know you talk about communication a lot in your book.
Right.
And how that's really critical and really important. And I agree with you. So what are you specifically saying to leaders as far as communication goes?
Well, I say it is not just listening to people. It's also asking questions. And I often say to them, questions are your secret weapon. You know, when a situation arises, what you need to do is ask the question, well, what would you do? How would you approach this? That gets people thinking, creativity, and, you know, helping them come up with the solutions. And then senior management doesn't have to come up with everything, because when senior management comes up with all the solutions, it's like, oh, okay, they did it. You don't want that they-us scenario. What you want is it's a we scenario. We're working together to make this all happen. So it's all about the communications. It's listening to the great ideas, taking them into consideration. Some of them may not be good, but you don't just shut the person off. You start asking them very pertinent questions. Well, why do you think that would work? Why wouldn't you, you know, if you were in my shoes, how would you approach this? Those are the types of things that really make a difference, and where people feel valued. You've got to make people feel like they're important and valued.
We've lost that, I think, over the years. And, you know, as we talk about this new paradigm shift, this new shift in business, going from that more industrial age type thinking to more of the age of today, which really is connection in my mind. You know, we talk about the digital or the information age, but it's really is an age of reconnecting.
Exactly. And don't
you think? I think leaders, we really need to get that. We really need to understand that at a very deep level. I love when you talk about purpose, because that is also kind of what we're seeing in businesses. We've lost that initial purpose, number one, for going into business, right? Now it's all about bottom line, shareholder value, everything around the money. But what was the initial purpose? And the same thing with leadership. So it's more like leaders just becoming more aware today of what is happening. And that's really the whole purpose of the show. And it sounds like also the purpose of your work.
Yeah, it is. And I'm so glad you brought up this purpose, because, you know, on a pyramid, many, many years ago, vision was the top thing. And I've transformed that, and I put purpose up there as the top thing. You really have to understand why you exist. And your people want to understand, beyond making a profit, what is the value that you are adding to the world? And this newer generation is very, very concerned about that. They want to make sure that they're doing things right, and that they're adding value to the world, and they're making a difference in the world. And so you really have to define that purpose. Then you have to define your values. You know, how are you going to operate? What are the standards that you're committing to? And then comes that vision. All right, you know, expression of where you want to go in the future. And once you get those three things working together, the rest of it just flows.
And don't you feel that if we have that, when you say the rest of it flows, then employee engagement will increase and will deepen? Because right now, and I know you have it, I think, in your book and on your website, the whole Gallup polls, I mean, 70% of associates are in some form of disengagement.
Which
is scary, right? So it's a symptom of a much, much bigger problem. And is that what you're finding as you're going into these companies? Is that a valid statistic?
It is a very valid statistic. And what's interesting is Gallup has done this year after year, and it doesn't change by much. You know, it might be 69% one year, 70 or 71% another year. It doesn't change a whole lot. And what's really interesting about it is, you know, when people first start in their jobs, they're all excited. They come in and, you know, the first day they're all ready to go. And one thing that has to happen is a manager will say, oh, well, we don't do that here. Or, oh, yeah, we tried that years ago. And, oh, that'll never work here. Anything like that, all of a sudden your engagement starts declining. And another statistic that Gallup has is that an employee's engagement level is almost 50% what it is after 6 months from the day they started working.
Right.
Now, what's interesting, and there's another new study out, and I don't know if I even quoted this in the book, but Gallup, again, did another survey when they were talking about what is the cost of this disengagement. And they estimate that it's about $300 billion in loss of productivity per year.
Okay, so that should get somebody's attention.
Yeah, I would hope so.
So what do you think, without, I guess, you know, looking for new ways. I know there are companies who say, you know, we need to make a change and we need to help. We need to look for people who can help us do this. And there are also, I think, the mindset out there, well, it's the recession, it's everything that's going on. We're just going to wait it out and things will get better. And are you seeing both of those situations out there?
I am, but I'm also seeing a lot of companies that are starting to recognize the importance of this. For example, I got a call yesterday, and the woman was explaining, you know, we've been doing really well. The reality of the situation is we've always looked at the numbers. We've always looked at the bottom line. We've always looked at the metrics. Now mm-hmm. we're clearly recognizing that we really need to start getting our culture to think in terms of customer satisfaction, to get our culture and all of our people thinking in mm-hmm. terms of the customer and the, you know, the guests or whatever they're calling their particular customers. And she said, that's a whole major cultural change on my management team's part. And I really need them to understand what this whole thing is about this whole magnetic leadership. And it, you know, and she says, that's going to help us to really increase our sales for the future. And I think that's where companies are starting to realize that they need to get their employees behind it, because the employee loyalty drives the customer loyalty, which drives the brand recognition. And, you know, that's what I've been preaching for years, and I think people are now starting to really come around and get it. Now, there's still others that are, you know, hung up with the economy, so to speak.
Right.
And the reality of the situation is they're digging their hole bigger. And they've got to, you know, start getting this engagement, getting people feel, because what's happening is the minute the economy turns around, who do you lose? Your best people.
Right.
And those are the ones that are going to help you to get out of, you know, your revenue problems. And you need those really good people. So you've got to get them on board. You've got to engage them. You've got to empower them. You have to enrich them. I did a session last night, and it was interesting. Probably 20 people came up to me afterwards and said, you know, my manager is really starting to make a difference in really caring about me and where I'm going and what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what's making me stay with this company.
Yeah.
But it's all about this new leadership and the new leader. And I tell companies, if you're not investing in your leadership, you need to start investing in your leadership, because that's what you need in order to keep your employees, especially your valuable employees. The other thing that's happening is, I mean, we're coming up on a shortage of employees. It's very hard to find people. And with the baby boomers retiring, it's even worse.
Well, it's kind of hard to look at when the unemployment rate is so high, though, right? Let's talk about that. That's a good point. So we're going to take a short break, so everybody stay tuned. I'll be right back with Diane Durkin and the power of magnetic leadership.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business. Are there any challenges to your success? You already have what it takes to turn these challenges into results in any area. Find out more when you tune in to The Power of Realism, Why Integrity Matters, with host Jeffrey Canavan. We all deal with adversity and challenges in life and business. We'll talk with those individuals who have faced these challenges and turned them into success stories. By making just a few shifts in your thinking, you too can be one of these success stories. The Power of Realism airs live on Thursdays at 10 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
If you are looking for creative ways to improve your bottom line, Tune in to Make Your Move with Alan and Brian Bolio. Their proven track record of helping businesses enhance their profitability will provide the basis for a forum about actionable items based on a business person's perspective. The program will be business talk, but with an economic context, so you'll know how to stay ahead of the game. Make Your Move is broadcast live every Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are tuned in to From Corporate to Conscious with the Quantum Scene's Kim Page. If you have a question or comment for Kim or her guests, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to Kim at FromCorporateToConscious.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back. You're listening to From Corporate to Conscious. I'm your host, Kim Page, and I'm here with Diane Durkin, and we are talking about the power of magnetic leadership. So, Diane, on the break, and before the break, we were talking about employee engagement. We were talking about the statistics with Gallup, and you mentioned another report, and I found it very... Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. There was another report that came out by ISR Global Engagement, and this was a survey of about 666,000 employees. And what they were doing was they were measuring companies with low employee engagement versus companies with high employee engagement. And what was interesting to me was the companies with low employee engagement had the following returns. Percentage of gross operating income, negative 32.7%. Percentage growth in net income, minus 3.8. Percentage improvement in EPS, minus 11.2. All negative numbers. And then the companies with high engagement, their operating income was 19.2, positive. Their growth in net income was 13.2%, positive. And their percentage improvement in EPS was a positive 27.8.
Wow.
I mean, this is huge, absolutely huge. When you look at, and I know companies have to look at the numbers, but these numbers really prove that you've got to get your people engaged. Because when they're engaged, they're, like I said earlier, they're creative, they're innovative, your turnover rates go down, you have higher productivities. At the clock is not the focus of your employees. It's more about getting the job done. It's really about making a difference. And I've often said talent is the engine of a modern organization. Engagement is that mystery ingredient that transforms the engine's output.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Thank you. I like that.
So my question, I guess, would be when you enter an organization, what are the one, two, three things that you first focus on to help a company get their employees re-engaged?
Well, the first thing I do is say, okay, what is your purpose? What is your values? And what is your vision? And how well have you communicated that down through the organization? Because what I do is I'll sometimes do focus groups and survey employees, over and over, there's three things I hear. Number one, where are we going and what's our strategy?
Right.
Number two, we're not being rewarded or recognized or appreciated for the work that we do. And number three, nobody communicates with us.
Mm.
Now, those are three major things. You've got to have everybody in the organization knowing where you're going and how you want to get there, because if they don't, they're not going to do their jobs to the top level. Number two, you've got to appreciate them, and you've got to recognize them. The best companies to work for in the world have excellent appreciation programs and recognition programs. And any one of the Fortune or Forbes best companies to work for, they all have fallen into that category. And then the last one is communications. People think they can do a one, all company meeting, once a year, or
right.
You can't just do that. I mean, the company meetings are great and, you know, doing those on a quarterly basis, but you've got to have your leaders and your managers living whatever you're talking about at those quarterly meetings. If it's what our purpose is, it's what our values, they've got to be living those values. And it starts with them, and everybody else will follow.
I agree. And one of the things I look at communication, of course, I spent 25 years in the corporate world, the last six as an executive. And, you know, did a lot of changing as a leader over the years. And one of the things I look at communication is we tend to communicate at employees and not communicate with employees.
Oh, Kim, that's fabulous. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, don't you think? I mean, that is the whole shift in this. Because we need to really focus back on communicating with people. I mean, they are people.
Right.
And I think that whole industrial type of thinking had us still in that mechanical mindset that, yeah, if we send out, you know, blast of emails and have these big meetings and communicate at of all of our associates, then everybody should be on board.
Right. And what happens when you communicate at them? Because I was with another client a couple days ago, and they have these quarterly meetings, and they asked me to do the next quarterly meeting. And they said, I said, well, we'll have a lot of interaction and a lot of questions because that's what I generate. And they said, oh, we never have questions. And that's because they're talking at them instead of with them.
Right.
And I said, we need to get that communications going. And I said, this will be the launch to do that. And it's just so important. People want to be heard.
Yes. Well, we all do.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, we sometimes forget to put ourselves in that place.
Yep.
And especially as we, you know, have been in the corporate world for so long as a leader. And that's why I keep saying over and over, this is a shift in mindset. This is a whole different way of thinking. Now, it doesn't cost monetarily, but it really does cause us to make some really hard changes and to really look at the way that we communicate, the way we think, the way we act. I mean, all those things. So that's when I get very, very excited when I hear about, you know, companies like yours and all the good work that you guys are doing going into these companies. So,
Another thing on this communications that I want to highlight is, you know, when I go in, I usually have like three or four questions that I ask. And the first one is, what's the present level of pride or commitment to the organization? What are the strengths? What are the areas for development? But then I get into, what do you personally need to improve your efficiency, your effectiveness?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another one that I'll use a lot, and I'll say, if you could give one message to the president and CEO of this organization, what would it be? I get a plethora of information. And I've just started asking a new one, which is, if this organization could stop doing one thing, what would you recommend it stop doing?
Interesting. What kind of answers do you get on that, may I ask?
You get all kinds of answers from, we need to restructure the sales organization. We need to get more people on the phones for customer service. We need to have better answers. We have new processes, procedures. I mean, it ranges from we need more training in this particular area. We need leaders that know what they're doing. I mean, I've gotten that one a few times. Or somebody, we need a leader that is willing to roll up their sleeves and understand what we deal with on a daily basis. Because sometimes, leaders have come from the ranks and other times they've just been come in.
Right.
Makes a huge difference.
Well, and that is so true. And if we, as executive leaders, leaders who are, kind of making the big overall decisions, and if we don't fully understand and are not in touch with the rest of the organization, it's almost impossible to really connect at that level and really understand what they're dealing with. So we rely on that hierarchy, which, again, past guests have talked about kind of a whole new structure in an organization. Now, that's probably something easier said than done, but many companies are going in that direction because how can you really connect as a CEO to the person who's on the phone?
Right.
I'm talking about a very large organization. And I've worked for some large organizations. It's to be able to do that effectively, we, I think, as leaders are going to have to look at a restructure of some mm-hmm. sort in some way, shape, or form. And there are many companies out there doing that. So I want to go back a little bit because we touched on it earlier. And when we talk about the purpose of an organization and getting employees behind that purpose, because it's easier to get an employee engaged behind a purpose, a deeper purpose, than it is shareholder value.
Exactly.
Would you agree? Okay.
I totally agree.
So this new generation, this is something else I probably bring up every week, but I think it's so important, and I want people to really understand it, is the new generation of worker coming in. And they've been named the millennials, Generation Y. There's all different labels out there. But these are workers who are not going to tolerate not being listened to, not being connected with a deeper purpose. The whole industrial hierarchy of doing business, the whole control and directive leadership, that kind of, all of that, the millennials are having a real hard time with because they're about networking and just have a whole different mindset. I wanted to talk to you, so kind of your opinion on the millennials, and what are you finding out there as you're doing this work?
Well, I'm finding a lot of what you said. I mean, this is a generation that will speak up. They absolutely want to be heard, and they want it all. I mean, they want to make money. They want to make a difference. They want to do. They're more philanthropic than any other generation has ever been. They really, want to make that huge difference, and they want to know what I'm doing every day. How is that impacting the world? They're much more global than any other generation has ever been.
Well, the internet, right? I mean,
exactly.
These guys were raised on computers, internet, social networking. Maybe not the future leaders will be, of course. Right. So we have to look at timing on that. But it's a whole new way of thinking for them.
Exactly. And they're extremely optimistic. They're very civic-minded. I mean, they're very much like the veterans were. And many of the veterans are, of course, retired or in the process of retiring at this point. The other thing is they're curious, all right? They want answers.
Right.
The question they ask more than anything else is why. Why are we doing it this way?
Let's hold that right there. Thanks, Diane. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. Entrepreneurial Insights is your weekly excursion into the world of business ownership. Presented by Sunbelt Business Brokers, the leading business brokerage and intermediary firm in the world, Entrepreneurial Insights will examine critical issues that impact both existing and prospective business owners. If you own or want to own a small business, listen for Entrepreneurial Insights with John Davies, Pino Bocchinello, and Matt Ottaway. Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Tune in to It's Your Money with host Bill Pfeifferlich. You'll get an eye-opening education about some of the misconceptions of the financial world. If you are a business owner, working professional, or successful American, you will benefit from the information on our program. Our guests will include financial service professionals, international tax and estate attorneys, and CPAs. We'll identify solutions that you can implement now to get the most of your money. Tune in Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for It's Your Money on Voice America Business. The generation of the web is now. Your competitors are on the web, your prospects are on the web, and they're looking for you. So, are they finding you, or are your competitors getting the business you deserve? Tune in to Generation Web with your host, Matt Dalby. Gain critical insight that your business simply can't live without. Generation Web airs live Thursdays at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time, 2300 UTC on Voice America Business. Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business. are tuned in to From Corporate to Conscious with the Quantum Scene's Kim Page. If you have a question or comment for Kim or her guests, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to Kim at FromCorporateToConscious.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to From Corporate to Conscious. I'm your host, Kim Page, and I'm here with Diane Durkin. And we are talking about her new book, The Power of Magnetic Leadership. So, Diane, we were talking about the millennials a bit before the break and just the fact that we really need to be aware of this new generation coming in and kind of how they're hardwired. And they're wired very differently than the industrial kind of mechanical way that we've been used to doing business. So I just kind of wanted to wrap that up a little bit. Any other insights from your experience out there working with companies and their challenges with millennials with this group?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I want to talk about is the, I often get asked, well, you know, they're very narcissistic, they're all about themselves. You know, how do you deal with this? They need so much recognition. Yeah, and you know who created that? The baby boomer parents. Let's be real.
That's true. I'm not. I'm on the cusp. I'm okay. A boomer Xer. So
okay, all right.
But I have a millennial.
Created that. We yeah. gave them all this recognition. You know, we were always keeping them occupied. You know, they said they have no attention span. Well, we overactivated them when they were young. And so we created this, and so, you know, we need to realize that, number one. And then we have to, you know, provide them with the leadership that they expect. And they expect a lot of respect and a lot of admiration. Mm-hmm. The other thing I tell corporations is they love to work in teams. In colleges, yep. in school, everything was all about the team. So collaborate them in a team environment. They do exceptionally well that way. Mm-hmm. They get bored very easily. I mean, part of that is the
yes.
social network stuff.
Yes, so and the video games and the, yeah.
Yeah, so if you give them an assignment, you better know where the next assignment is the minute they finish that. Mm-hmm. So you need to, as a leader or a manager, you need to plan this out a little. Okay, I can give them this. They're going to finish that. They need that sense of accomplishment. So you might want to break it up into phases and make sure you got the next phase waiting.
Yeah. They're also more about balance, too, don't you think? The balance. It's not all about work. Boomers, we were about working, you know, 80 hours a week and looking good and but this group is, you know what, I'm going to spend as much time with my family as I do with work, which is a great attribute,
right?
I think, or working on my other projects.
Yeah, precisely. And the thing is, if you don't keep them occupied, they're just going to, you know, they're going to go off and they're going to do their other things because they have huge capacity, especially with all the technology at their fingertips. And I mean, it's amazing what they can get done in a day.
Well, and that's their, you know, that's what is also attributed to their wanting to connect to the whole. So, you know, being raised knowing more of what's going on in the world, you
exactly.
know, first television and then the internet, it's they do feel more connected. And, you know, we're seeing evidence of that on the government side as well, not just in our country. So thank you very much for that insight. I always like to bring them up. I know people who've been listening know that I do, but I think it's just such an important topic that we need to really come back to time and time again. So I meant to ask you this question early on, Diane, and I didn't. I apologize. What really prompted you to write this particular book?
Well, I felt that I'm in working with a lot of CEOs and senior managers across organizations, I clearly saw that what I call the magnetic leaders that really engaged their people, that talked to their people, communicated with their people, were the most successful. And I didn't feel like it was ever really written down in a simple way so that people could, you know, figure it out real easily. And then I came across the real concept, and I said, this makes all the sense in the world. And I said, it really is time to get real and make
it
all happen.
And you have an acronym for that.
I do.
Which I love.
I do. The R is for the recruiting the right people in the right place at the right time and retaining them.
Right. And that's not, it's, we tend to think we do this, but a lot of times we don't have the right people in the right spot. And instead of putting that person in the right spot, right, we tend to just dismiss them.
Exactly.
And I've seen that a lot over the years where a couple of my other guests will talk about the fact that, you know what, maybe this person would be a better fit over here. And I think that's a huge boost for morale when we do that.
Exactly, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and it's really, and working with the person to decide what they're really good at. You know, I say in an interview, you probably get to know 70% of the person. You know,
right.
And there's another huge 30% that you're not going to know until they come in and start working with you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's when you really have to discern, okay, did I really make the right choice? And so I say, hey, you need to make your choices based upon attitude. Because on the training side, you can train people to do just about anything. But attitude is something that you can't necessarily find in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So find the right people with the right attitude, get them into the right places, train them if you need to, and accept them, value them, and you're going to retain them.
Yeah, yeah. And which is your E, right?
Yeah, exactly. The E is all about the engaging, empowering, and enriching them, and providing them the right environment for success.
That's huge.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's huge, yeah. And then your A is for appreciating, right?
Exactly. What do people want the most?
And it's
not
always
money.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Not
I
money.
Agree. It's not. And yeah. And for some reason, I think we're stuck on that sometimes. Well, it's just we can't give it. We can't make them happy because we can't give them any more money.
Right.
And there's so many little things. I know you talk about being rewarded and recognized is huge. A pat on the back goes a long way.
Exactly.
Way.
And I say the two most underutilized words in the English language, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for a great job. Really appreciated what you did for me today. You know, you really, really helped me out. You helped the team out. People love that.
Absolutely. And I will say I wasn't always perfect at that, you know, and nobody is perfect at it.
No.
A lot of times we get so bogged down at work, you know, as leaders, and depending on your particular role, are spread so thin, you know, and that's another problem. You know,
yep.
We're relying on trying to cut corners, trying to get bigger profits, and in doing so, we cut staff, and that just perpetuates the problem. So,
exactly.
And your L is for leadership that leads to loyalty. I love that.
Thank you.
So it is not, it's not about ego, and that's probably, I think, the hardest part,
yeah.
Right, for a lot of leaders?
It really is. I mean, there's so many people out there who just don't want to ever be wrong. They don't want to, you know, and their ego gets in the way. And if you just put your ego aside and recognize that every single person has talents, you don't have them all, the other person's not going to have them all, but together you've got them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you, I'm sure in your work that you do, you've seen, you know, you've worked for a lot of the big companies in America, and you've seen probably a lot of the more of the industrial, like we've talked about, people who haven't really got the change yet, and others who possibly have. And I know you mentioned on the break a little bit about Pepsi.
Right. I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I just had the pleasure of hearing the president and CEO of Pepsi speak, and she was amazing. It was probably the best speaker I have heard in my life, actually. And one of the messages talking about your conscious process here, she says that she spends, as CEO, 40% of her time doing people issues. And what she calls talent management.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, she gave some incredible examples. For example, when she travels to a country where they have a lot of, Pepsi people, she'll find out who's doing really, really well, and she'll go and either visit or send a note to the parents of that person.
Wow.
Yeah, listen, this is really cool.
Saying, okay.
Thank you so much for bringing up your son or daughter in a way that they are making such a huge contribution to us at Pepsi.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
That was the one thing that stuck in my brain.
Right.
That was just unbelievable.
Well, because it's one thing to give appreciation and recognition to the person. We need to do that. But it magnifies so much when we praise them to others.
Yes. And think about what that does for your brand.
Right.
All of a sudden, are those parents going to buy Coca-Cola?
I doubt it.
Yeah, exactly. They may prefer it, but they're not going to buy it, especially if the president and CEO, and just think about how many people they're going to share that with, because they're so proud.
Oh, absolutely. That's not something that she needed to do.
Put a price tag on that.
No, not at all. Well, and it's such a different, as I've been writing my book, I've interviewed employees at different companies, and, you know, I'm not going to say the name of these companies to protect the employees, but there have been a couple of CEOs who have said, morale is not my job.
Oh.
Who put and pit their departments against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think that is a competition of sorts, it's a healthy competition. And I'm not talking about recognition programs or things like that. It's where they're actually pitting, you know, departments against each other. So you have chaos and you have, but that stuck out with me, the CEO saying that morale is not my job.
Oh, that would stick out with me too.
And it's absolutely should be number one.
Absolutely.
I think on the job. Any other stories like that from companies that you've gone into? I think you don't have to share the name, but potentially a company who you've seen lately makes some real significant changes.
Well, one company we worked with, I mean, they were when we started working with them, it was a manufacturing organization. They were shipping about $385,000 worth of product a month.
Mm-hmm.
When we left, 18 months later, they were shipping $8.1 million.
Wow.
I know. Huge.
Okay.
And morale, when I got there, morale was at its lowest it had been. Their scrap levels they were high. They were like 40, 45%. Their scrap levels right now are below 10%.
Wow.
And it's all about treating the people right, getting the people involved. When I started talking to the people initially, it was, why would I want to come to work here? It's just a paycheck. It's, you know, and that's the way they were looking at it.
I want to talk, Diane, hang on. I want to talk more about that. They're cueing me to go to break.
Okay.
So everybody, hang on. We'll be right back with Diane Durkin.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel or listen on demand to our archived shows.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
Zoom Leadership.
An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
All too often these days, businesses and the corporate workplace are still relying on old rules and ideas that are no longer effective. It's time to look at business from a new perspective, a conscious perspective. Tune in every week for From Corporate to Conscious with the Quantum Scene's Kim Page. A new type of workplace and a different mindset is needed to transform the way we as leaders, employees, and clients think about the future and how we achieve success. Listen every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are tuned in to From Corporate to Conscious with the Quantum Scene's Kim Page. If you have a question or comment for Kim or her guests, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to Kim at FromCorporateToConscious.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to From Corporate to Conscious. I'm your host, Kim Page, and I'm here with Diane Durkin. We are talking about the power of magnetic leadership. So, Diane, before the break, we were getting into a great story of a company you've been working with.
Okay, so we had some amazing results with this company in 18 months, and we did exactly what I outline in the book, which is we initially asked people what was wrong, the morale was really, really bad, and they gave us a whole bunch of input. We listened, we gathered the input, and then we got the senior staff together and said, okay, these are your issues, this is what we need to do. And we put teams, we engaged people to solve these business issues. And some of the business issues is there was no training for the new people coming on board. They didn't have a culture or a value system that people could identify with. They weren't communicating well with one another and so forth. And then we put a whole leadership program in place to train the supervisors and the leaders. It was, like I said, a manufacturing organization. What was amazing to me is we had one particular leader on the line. He was a supervisor. Actually, he was just a team lead, excuse me. And he was a real problem child, boisterous, arrogant, would lose his composure. I mean, people just hated working for him. And I remember him coming into my training programs, and, you know, I would sort of pick on him a bit. And in about a three-month period of time, on Christmas Day, we started the training somewhere around late September, October. Christmas Day, I got a text message, and it was from him. And he said, I hope you're having a great holiday. My wife and I are having the best Christmas we have had in years. And I owe it all to your training, because what you've taught me has really taught me how to deal with people both at work and at home.
That's,
and I mean, it just,
yeah.
It brought tears to my eyes.
That's a great story, because one of the things we don't realize, and I make this statement, and some people don't like it, but business is personal.
Yes.
Because it all spills over. It's all connected.
Exactly.
I mean, how we are at work, how we are at home, you know, one affects the other, and how we just relate to people in general. I mean, it's hard to really separate the two. That is such a great story.
Well, and the other thing about it is what's interesting is that same individual, about 8 months later, was promoted to supervisor. And then I just got a note last week that said he is now in charge of the whole line.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's as high as a kite. And, you know, he can't thank me enough. I mean, it's just so gratifying.
Well,
and
congratulations.
I love people that keep up that way, you know.
Yeah.
I have another gentleman.
He's an engaged associate now, right?
He's a totally engaged associate.
You have another example?
I do. I have another one. I teach at the university, and this gentleman was in my leadership. I teach the same leadership program that I teach to my clients. I teach at the university. And he was not a star student, but a good student. Mm-hmm. And he went to work at a bank, and he got a very entry-level job. Well, within 6 months, he was promoted to teller. And then I'd say maybe 3 or 4 months later, he was assistant branch manager. And
wow.
He was, you know, he was telling his manager about the training that he had gone through. His manager called me and said, can I meet with you? And then said, I can't thank you enough for what you taught this guy. He says he's amazing.
Wow.
He's one of our best employees.
That's terrific.
I know. It's just, you know, so it doesn't matter if it's a bank, if it's a manufacturing facility. It's people are people.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and you say, you know, you used the word a few minutes ago. I can't remember what it was. But you got to treat people like people. It was your message. And I say,
right.
You know, the word I often bring in is love.
Right.
You've got to love your people. You got to love them and appreciate them.
Yeah, I know. And I could feel baby boomers out there everywhere cringing. Right?
Exactly.
So,
and I hate
that. And that's unfortunate. Yeah, but that's unfortunate because it's like, you know, wait, love and business don't go together.
Right. Right. But business, you have a different level of love in business.
Right. Business is personal. I keep going back to that.
Exactly.
And until we kind of really feel that again, that it is, it's very mm-hmm. personal. And I think, unfortunately, because that was ingrained in me when I first started, you know, hey, you can't take it personal. Business not personal. You can't have friends in business, you know, the whole
right.
nine yards.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, I've lost a few friends in business.
Mm-hmm. We all have, I think.
Yeah, because of that, at that time, not having that conscious awareness of what was really happening. So, I mean, this is so important, and we go back to the millennials, and it's interesting what triggered something, that the fast-paced movement of this particular individual reminds me again of the millennial mindset. They don't want to wait to climb the corporate ladder. They want to go, you know, they don't even have a ladder.
Right.
It's, I want to be running the business now.
Yep,
you know,
exactly.
Now, it's that instant gratification. It's that, you know, so some of it is not healthy because you have that fast food mentality. I think we live in that society now
mm-hmm.
where we want everything now. We get everything now. Fast food's not always healthy, right?
Exactly.
It's not healthy.
Yep.
So we have to have some balance there. But Diane, this has been such an opportunity. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I really thank you. Is there some information that you'd like to share with our listeners so they know how to get in touch with you?
Oh, sure. The name of my company is called Loyalty Factor, and it's loyaltyfactor.com. And you can get my book by going on Amazon.com. And I also want to comment that we just got word that the Clarion Review Board has put our book as a 5-star out of 5 stars.
Wow.
So we're very excited about that.
Congratulations. That's
terrific. Thank you
terrific.
So much.
Well, I encourage everybody to go out and get Diane's book. Diane, thank you so much.
Okay.
I
thank
really
you, Kim.
It. Thank you. And thank you to everyone for tuning in today. Next week, my guest will be Sylvia LaFerre, president of Creative Energy Options, and she's the author of Don't Bring It to Work, Breaking the Family Patterns That Limit Success. So this is sure to be a powerful and eye-opening show, so don't miss it. From Corporate to Conscious airs live every Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Time. And from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And all shows are available on demand, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, stay conscious.
Thank you again for listening. Be sure to join Kim Page for another episode of From Corporate to Conscious next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll see you then. It's so easy to blow up your problems. It's so